time for playing games is done. Adversaries all better run. We're coming up to reach the top. Unbeatable and we'll never stop. We're the ones in charge, yeah. We're staying living large, yeah. We're the one who fly, yeah. They don't ever have a chance. Why do they even try? Everybody, yeah, yeah, yeah. Rock your body, yeah, yeah, yeah. Time to party, yeah, yeah, yeah. 'Cause the Backseat Boys are back.
Want to hear a little more of that song this time. It actually says JP and Tommy. Speaking of JP and Tommy, what's up, guys?
What up? Two scoops of woot for y'all.
We reach the top and never fall. The sexiest you've ever saw.
I love it. As you look like Emperor Palpatine, brother. I love the look.
Hey, got to do
it. All right, all the peeps are coming in. You guys, we got a lot to talk about today, a lot to do. Big show, obviously. Got news for you. Phil is not only late, he's not going to be here tonight. Big surprise.
Oh, man.
Wah, wah, wah. Donnie B. also wants to be here. So we got to try to make this work on our own, guys. So what we do have is we have Robbie. Robbie Illuminati will be here in a little bit so we can talk about the Eagles tailgate. We all maybe saw what went down yesterday. If not, we're going to show that footage in a little bit. We're also going to have the Grim Reefer on here from Loud East Wrestling, one of the New York City OGs, and the commentator for Spo Wrestling. And, of course, we're going to talk more about the event on February 8th. Tickets are on sale now at SpoWrestling.com. So much happened this week, you guys. How was your week, Tommy?
My week was good, man. You know, just anytime you have an opportunity to, you know, just take it easy and just focus on the gym, you do just that. And that's what I did, you know, just focused heavy on the gym, in the gym 6 days a week, you know, and just active 7 days a week, you know, some form of, you know, just activity. And I enjoy my time off because no time off. I'm always getting work done behind the scenes. If you know, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know, now you know.
Yep. Good work ethic, brother. How about you, Jay? How was your weekend?
You know, it wasn't bad. I almost had to think for a second, like, what did I do? Because, again, we've just been constantly grinding and hustling. So, you know, again, I had to remember that I did nothing, and it was awesome. It was great. But during the week, you know, just, again, at the gym, training in the ring, getting ready for this match against Griffin McCoy, February 8th. That's going to be dope. So, again, it was, again, a low-key weekend, but back to it.
Yep. That's right. That's right. You versus Griffin McCoy already has a big match feel. Griffin McCoy coming off his six-man tag from GCW at the Hammerstein. And on the other side of that tag was the New York City OGs, which is, of course, Grim Reefer. So we're going to talk to him about that. So I want to find out. One of the most interesting things ever in pro wrestling happened during that match that I want to talk about tonight, too, when we get Reefer on here. So hopefully we'll get Reefer on here soon. But, yeah, guys, did you get to see the footage of Robbie and Hank at the Buffalo Wild Wings no fly zone tailgate?
I did.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, yeah, no pun intended. It definitely looked pretty wild.
It sure did. Yeah, let me see if I can get this. I'm going to cue this up here real quick for us so we can watch it. And then we'll try to get Robbie on here. Hopefully he'll be ready to go. But yeah, here it is, guys. Check this out.
And we got Robbie Illuminati right here. From SPO, shut the fuck up when I'm talking. From SPO Wrestling, and I'm gonna be fighting Hank the Buffalo February 8th at Harris Casino. So my brother, Johnny Cashmere, we all got free tickets for everybody. If you come up to Darth Vader, I got free tickets for everybody that wants to see me whoop this Buffalo's ass on February 8th. Thank you and good night. God bless.
Let's go, Philadelphia! E-A-G-L-E-S!
So they can't play on my court, can't hang with the big dogs, stay on the porch. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle.
I got to say, them dancing at the end is my favorite part. Let's get Robbie on here, everybody. Robbie, what's up, bro? The big smile. Look at him. So proud of himself.
That was a lot of fun yesterday. Being out there with No Fly Zone, being out there promoting our big show February 8th. That was a ton of fun, Johnny. What a day. We had to walk for about a mile afterwards. There was an issue. God bless the guys that hosted us. I mean, they picked us up in a beautiful Tesla. I've never been in a Tesla before, so that was pretty cool. And but because of all the restrictions they had on by the ballpark and everything, our driver couldn't get back to the road to pick us up. So we actually had to walk about a mile just to have our driver meet us. Which, for anybody that knows South Philly, knows that it's about 10 blocks from Lincoln Financial Field to actually get to Packer Ave. So that was kind of brutal, but it was worth it. And honestly, coming on here today, I told Johnny ahead of time, I said, I just want to come on, and I don't necessarily want to come on and just be straight gimmick with everybody and everything. Because the truth is, guys, you guys, the back seats, Johnny, me, I'm still new here. We're all working really hard to make Spo really special for the kids at the casino and for Harris and everything like that. So I don't mind walking. I have a torn ACL, and I've actually put off surgery till after the 8th so we can make this show happen for everybody, because I know it's important, and there's a lot of people that believe in us. And then me especially, guys, I saw you guys at DCW Arena last April, WrestleMania weekend, and I was planning to be done with the business because I had a bad injury last year. I reconnected with you guys WrestleMania weekend and ended up teaming with you guys a month after that. And things start picking up for me and Ruckus, thank God, for, the few of the places that I'm still able to work with him. And we picked up with Spo, and it's really, I want everybody to know how important this is to me and to us. So, anybody that saw a dude head to toe in polo limping his ass down Packer Ave with another guy carrying a championship belt and one of our guys, there we are. Yeah, my face is so fat. I blame the creatine in this pre-workout I bought. I should have got Total War, which, if you use the Backseat Boys code for Total War, that's creatine free. But I bought one with creatine. I got a fat face in that picture.
I like the girl drinking the beer behind us.
Yeah.
And are you wearing a Sixers? Are you wearing a Sixers jacket at a Phillies game?
No, that's a Ralph Lauren. That's a polo ski jacket.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, I was going to say it was fly. I just wasn't sure. I mean, wasn't the wrong city.
Out of respect for the everybody there, I wore a polo from head to toe yesterday just to show it was important to me.
Good.
And look at my hat. That's Robbie's polo hat he gave me. He's like, you need to wear polo today. And he gave me the hat to wear.
Hey.
It was good luck.
But those porta potties behind us, guys, you should have seen the lines for the porta potty. It was how many people would you estimate, Robbie, were in line at once?
Legitimately, as a guy now that tries to count crowds, if you were to look at that little rectangle, people, there were 150 people.
Oh, yeah.
About 50
like the shower
people.
Line at the gathering?
Yeah.
Yes.
Not that I was there, but he told me about it. What about the chicks that stopped? Let me tell you something. They may have been barking up the wrong tree, but Johnny Cashmere, was a fucking stud yesterday. Let me tell you, there was these two girls, but it's what I call, guys, the Michael Jordan theory. They could have been 23. They could have been 45. We weren't sure. So we just let them keep it moving.
Oh, yeah. God. Well, they did stop and undress us with their eyes.
She had a Dawkins jersey on too. So was it ironic? Is that a throwback to her, or was she following football when Dawkins was playing because she was in college?
Yeah,
you couldn't tell by her age.
I don't know. No. That could be her behind us drinking the beer. I'm not sure.
No, it wasn't. I would have been using I don't know. We could find her that way.
Listen, Eric Elvis Walsh said Hank just called and said something about a polo stick, you Illuminati ass. What?
Oh my God.
That's great. Unreal, man. But yeah, that was a lot of fun yesterday being down there. There was a guy pushing a shopping cart with like coal on fire that was heating this lot, this whole pig. And he
he was roasting a pig in a shopping cart. So like the lower deck was like the coals in a smoldering fire. And then on top of that, he literally had like a grill laid across with foil on top and a pig.
It looked delicious.
Video.
Dude, I've never wanted to eat a pig out of a shopping cart before in my life, but it looks so good.
Yeah, there's something good too. There's a certain like mystique to the food. You know, guys, when you're like on the road and when you're a food truck or something like that, it did. It looked delicious. Also, trichinosis. Right. Quote Tony Soprano's mother, probably, but you know.
Yeah, probably. Probably trichinosis. Not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're going to have Reefer on here in a little bit, guys, but we do have an announcement to make. We made a deal with R5 Media, which is Reality 5 Media. They are going to be videotaping our event on the 8th and then also on the next event in April, which we will have a lot more to announce about that in a little bit. So stay tuned for more announcements. Next week, we're going to try to have them on here. So, guys, I don't know if you realize it, but we're already under 2 weeks from the event. So next Monday, 1 week from tonight, will be a regular episode of Spocast. It'll be the final episode before the event. We're going to try to get Willie Mack on here. We're going to have R5 Media on here, and maybe we'll have some more surprises. And then next Tuesday, we'll have our Taking It Home special hosted by Danger Ginger and BJ. And I know I will absolutely be on there and possibly Robbie, and we will see who else, but we will also try to get some special guests for that. So there you go. Two big shows coming up next week, guys. Hope you can make it. So what else is going on, guys? Should we talk about the event?
Yeah, we probably should, you know.
It couldn't hurt, right? So the hurt. Patriot debuts his newest protege, who will tag with Hank the Buffalo in Mayor Root's Key to the City ladder match against Ruckus and Robbie, this has been months and months. This started at a celebrity boxing press conference back in July.
Yeah, it's kind of the gathering. August, something like that. Yeah, how everything worked out. Yeah, it's crazy how everything is kind of falling into place. And Hank and I and Mayor Roots and I just kind of keep ended up in, you know, these weird situations and these weird predicaments, and we just you know, we can't seem to get on the same page. So coming up on the eighth, it is what it is. Exactly right. You know, all I can say is there's not really anything to say that hasn't been said already about what's going on with me and the mayor right now, and with Hank and Damon Feldman. And I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here. The injury that was sustained November 2nd, and now this injury that I'm dealing with now. And then I have people that are saying to me like, oh, well, you know, how are you going to be in the match? You can't even walk. It's Hank the Buffalo. Do you understand? Like, what do I need to be able to do to be able to beat Hank the Buffalo?
I wouldn't take him that lightly. He surprised me the last time.
And it is a ladder match. It is a ladder match, Robbie.
Right.
First time ever in SPO. We've never had a ladder match in SPO.
But I have a lot. But the thing is, one thing that I realize is that I am very smart when it comes to weaseling my way out of things, as it turns out. My pop was right. You know, I mean, let's face it. So, look, there's a lot of – if I was sitting back and I was putting on my analyst cap, I would say, well – okay, Robbie's got Ruckus there. We don't even know who this tag team partner is for Hank. Now, I could be making a big fuss and hooting and hollering over that, but you got to think. There's also other elements there. You just said there, Grim Reefer's on commentary, okay? Grim Reefer has teamed with my partner, Ruckus, several times. Do you think Grim Reefer would allow us to get embarrassed? So having him in the building, again, money in the bank. James Ellsworth. We've been affiliated with James Ellsworth off and on for years now. Now, for better or worse, well, he's on our event. So, you know, and I did say at the beginning that I've been helping creatively with trying to pick a good roster for this event and everything. Well, that's not by accident. You know, people know. They know where the bread is buttered, John. Come on.
I feel you. I feel you.
Even with a bum leg.
Let me just – I don't mean to change the subject. We're going to get Reefer on here in a little bit. But before we do, I got to ask you guys, did any of you watch the clips of the bare-knuckle boxing fighting from Saturday night? Have you guys seen all this?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What'd you think? What'd you think of the event?
I mean, aside from – I didn't see the event. I only saw clips of the weigh-in, and I saw, you know, what needed to be saw, if you know what I mean.
Some of those knockouts were some of the most disturbing knockouts I've ever seen. Like, Pat, obviously, the guy we backed, Pat Sullivan, didn't win his match. He got knocked out. But, man, what a dynamo he is. And to see some of the knockouts, like, if you go on Instagram and see some of these knockouts, it's brutal, man. Brutal. As someone who's been knocked out before, man, to wake up like that in front of 19,000 people and not know where you are is one of the scariest things you'll ever have to deal with.
You know, man, I mean, but God bless him. I mean, I was in the Wells Fargo Center for a paid gig one time, and it was a stand like this with Bill Goldberg for 5 seconds, and Pat Sullivan got an entrance and got music, had all his friends and family there, and he got paid. And it takes a lot of guts. I mean, it takes a lot of guts. And we met Pat, you know, at Damon's a couple months ago. Pat's a very nice kid. And I'm not saying kid. I mean, we're OGs. We're old heads, bro. He's not being condescending.
Yeah.
He's a lot younger than we are, you know, and he's a really nice guy. And, you know, the thing that a lot of people, because I want to take off for Pat for a minute, if I could be like totally serious.
Go ahead.
Is people that haven't fought or wrestled in school or done any kind of martial arts at a competitive level or bodybuild or done anything where they've had to cut weight before, they don't understand what it does to somebody to cut weight. They especially don't understand what it does to somebody the first time they've ever have to cut weight and they're not a professional. So people are making comments about, oh, he fell off the scale. Did you see the way he was jittering his legs? He was on, and they're trying to make allegations. Oh, him and Connor hitting the slopes and this and that and all the other stuff that they love to say about Connor, a successful billionaire also. I think the thing with Pat is I think Pat did a very serious weight cut for the fight, and I think Pat was very exhausted when he was up on that scale and probably very exhausted when he was in the ring at BKFC. And I think that, like, people should be none of these guys that are saying anything about Pat have probably ever even been in a fight in their life, let alone would have the guts to fight a professional fighter in front of their hometown crowd and still go online. And let's talk about that too. Pat went online yesterday and said, it was still one of the best nights of my life. I got to live my dream. And I do. I feel bad to see him go out like that. I feel even worse though to see just what people – guys, you know, we're all in the wrestling business. People bully us online all the time, and it's okay because we accept that. But for Pat, he's not even really in the fighting business. This was his first night in the fight game, you know?
Well, so, he did one celebrity boxing event for Damon before.
Okay.
And the place sold out. I mean, he's, you know, the dude is a draw. Okay.
And if he's there February 8th, which he's certainly still invited, of course, we're not pulling a Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas like they did with Macho Man, and they pulled Mike and they Buster Douglas the ref.
That's what I was about to say. He's still invited. We still want him there.
And come support him. Come support Pat Sullivan. There's not a ton of local athletes from Philly that represent Philly. They make it here in Philly, and they can't wait to move out. So support a guy like Pat. You know, he's a hometown guy, and he, before this fight, he had all the confidence in the world that he was going to win that fight. So keep in mind, he agreed to be at our fight, be at our event with the mindset that he was coming in as a guy that just had a really successful fight on pay-per-view with Conor McGregor. So that's it, too. It's very gracious of him to even make himself available for us to begin with.
Well, I'm going to try to talk to him tomorrow and make sure he's still available and see what we can get him to do on the 8th, if anything. So stay tuned to Spo Wrestling on Instagram, and we will announce it. But, guys, we have the Grim Reefer is here. And I have one question for him, but I want to let the backseat sort of control this interview if you don't mind. But without further ado, the New York City OG, the Grim Reefer. What's up, brother?
Hey, yo, what's up, my fellas? My Philadelphia.
What up, Reef? House. What's up, bro? Man, it's so good to have you, man. I loved typing the New York City OG, the Grim Reefer, bro. I feel like you've been that since the 90s, though, bro. And I'm just glad you're getting your due.
I feel that way, too.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
Well, what's going on, fellas? Robbie, what's going on?
What's up, Reefer? What's up, baby?
Hey, what's up, you guys were actually on my first show ever, my first professional show in 99, the Cashmere Brothers, if you guys remember that.
I do remember. You came. Matter of fact, you know who would be great for our conventions, Johnny, who I just saw like 2 years ago? Brimstone.
Brimstone. Oh,
he's still around, dude.
I forgot about him.
All the conventions. He has a radio show. He has a ton of followers. Yeah, you came in with Brimstone that night, dude. I remember. Yeah.
He was managing Mike Mayhem. Remember Mike Mayhem?
Oh, yes.
What's going on, fellas?
We're already walking down memory lane. Now, listen, I'm going to let them control this interview because they got a lot of questions for you and stuff. But before I have to ask one question, bro, because this is intriguing. We all watched – well, the back seats were there. Me and Robbie watched the Hammerstein Ballroom show live last Sunday. Okay.
Good shit, bro.
Dude, you, Homicide, and Red were out there with Kerry Morton, Griffin McCoy, and Tony Deppen. And there was no ambulance, and you couldn't wrestle, and you had no choice but to kill time, and you guys grabbed that microphone. Dude, it's like time stopped. I felt so bad for you. My heart was in my toe. How did you deal with that? Walk me through what that was like. That's one of the most unique instances in pro wrestling I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. You know, at first we were just stalling for time. They gave a message to Kerry to kill some time on the mic. He did that. Julius, we were just trying to kill as much time as we could, but it was getting to the point where it was awkward. But it's the wrestling business. Anything could happen. In all my years, it never happened like that, but it did happen. But it wasn't. We got through it, and eventually we got the crowd. We got the crowd back. But yeah, it was a little awkward, a little strange. I was getting a little tight. But what are you gonna do? You know,
dude. One time in England, the ring didn't show up, and me, Trent, Ian Knox, and Jake Roberts went out and did 20 minutes on a microphone in front of a crowd, and had no idea. And somehow we pulled it out of our ass, and it worked. Dude, for that to happen during any match other than the New York OGs match would have been a disaster. Like, you guys were the right guys to be in the ring to hold the crowd that long.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. Pretty wild. But at the end of the day, it worked out. You know, we got them back, and things kept rolling. But, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. I had to threaten the commissioner a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I'm all cool with them guys. But they're getting a little crazy. I mean, you know how it is. You guys have the commissioner out there too. It's like a big shakedown deal with these guys. Right. You know, they're trying to like intertwine MMA rules with wrestling. It needs to have their own rules. You know.
Right.
But what are we gonna do? We gotta work with what we got. You know, a lot of restricted rules. You can't. One rule I don't understand is, you can't swing a chair at somebody, but you could pie face him. Who the fuck came up with that rule? I like to know.
Pie face him. That's
a real rule. That's a real rule. You cannot swing a chair, but you could pie face somebody. You could. Wild.
When Hogan swings a chair, it's like he's pie facing anyway.
isn't a pie face less control of the chair as opposed to actually swinging the chair and committing to it?
They got crazy rules, man. It's just like they're looking. They're just looking to shut you down, you know. Yeah, that's how they.
That's exactly what it is.
It's like they're like the low key of their business, where they're just waiting for you to fuck up. You know what I mean? So they.
Jesus. So what's it like being a promoter these days, man? You got your own Fed now. It's a headache. Yeah, I mean, right?
It's a headache, but it would have been a lot more of a headache if I was younger doing it. You know, I knew what to expect and everything, and things seem to be running smooth. You're always going to get your high school nonsense or whatever, but you got to just know how to deal with that shit.
Right.
But it's not that bad. Just get the right team. That's why I call you guys up. I know you guys are good to go. I try to get everybody that already knows what the fuck they're doing, and the young kids I train myself, so it shouldn't be a problem. And so far, so good. You guys came through, always come through, and I love that SPO company. I'll tell you what, I was impressed, bro. I was impressed last time with that roster you got.
Thanks, bro. We feel the same way about you, man. You guys got tight match graphics and badass fucking shit. So you guys, yeah. Look, I'm cursing now too. Rafer's got me cursing on here.
You guys all have gimmicks and they all have a look to them and they all have a different swagger to them. They're not like your roster's not 10 of the same guy. It's something for everyone.
Yeah.
And the thing I always like about Loud East Show is that the crowd is there to participate. You know, I've worked for all three of Rafer for the Loud East events. You know, the first event, you know, you put us in the ring with Homicide. That was absolutely dream come true for the three of us to be able to be in the ring with D, New York legend. And of course, the Uptown Boys. Later on, of course, Johnny Cashmere and myself would interfere in the post-match between Janela and Gabriel Sky. And then recently we took on your guys, the Prospects. And, you know, I'd have to say, Reef, you know, all three of those segments, you know, just knew exactly what I was, you know, getting into. The crowd was there 100% of the time. You got a good thing going. And most importantly, you got the perfect young tag team, you know, Jay Gordy and Colin Parker, the Prospects, two guys that we wrestled at your last event that are about to, you know, appear with you. Talk to me about them. You know, how'd you discover them and, you know, what's up with them?
Well, they both came in around the same time, but separately. Both were fans. Colin, I used to see around my neighborhood. He used to just chase me down and ask for pictures and shit. He's big into wrestling. And Jay Alfredo, I saw him after a GCW show, and he just kept talking about him wanting to do this. And I said, "You're just coming to school." Gave me information. But both of them were like sponges. That's why I could teach them great. Yeah. But if they ain't sponges, it's going one ear right out the other. But I saw they were picking up. Right when I said it, they would pick it up. So I treated them like a matrix program where I just crammed as much as I could at once. As long as they were sponging it up, I just kept going with them. And they're not even a year in, bro. And they're doing good, man. But I got to give the credit to them. They got the talent and they got the will to do it and they want to listen. It's a lot of secret ingredients you need. A lot of guys, you know how it is, bro. These students, it's just, come on, bro, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sponges. Yeah, man, you're doing it right. Yeah, you're doing it right. And let me tell you, like, the sky's the limit for the Prospects. Like, we got nothing but love for them. Those dudes are fucking hard-ass workers. And for them to be less than a year in, if we were in their shoes, if we were in their position wrestling us, I'm going to keep it a buck. We probably would have shit the fucking bed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I remember you guys.
That's just how it is, man. Nah, man. I'm like, if you were to tell me right now, like, if I had to wrestle myself and my brother at less than a year in, I don't think I'd be able to hang as much as like the Prospects did. I'm gonna be straight up. You, like,
well, they were nervous. They were nervous. Trust me.
We had more fun wrestling your guys who told us that was their third tag team match than we've had with, you know, some guys who have been doing this for, you know, longer, for a long time, you know. They were sponges. They're a reflection of you. They have a great work ethic and, you know, bottom line, you know, the sky is the limit. You know, we saw them at the Garden. I'm sorry, at the ballroom, not at the Garden. Excuse me. Same we saw them at the ballroom getting ready, you know, doing ring crew and whatnot. And, you know, I told him, I was like, you guys are doing exactly what you should be doing. You know, just in a couple of years, it'll be your time, you know, just keep doing it. I love their work ethic. I love the look that they have. They have matching gear, but they're an opposite tag team too. You know, you got the Giant and Young Gordy and you got the High Flyer and Colin. So, you know, what other students are you currently helping develop right now, Reefer?
Well, I got a lot of good guys coming up. I got Adonis Stone's one of my top guys. I started training him in 21, and I really put a lot into him, and he's showing it. I got a lot of guys out there. I don't really, like, advertise it or whatever, but I just let that show for itself. Another kid, Shane Rose, is impressive. I got a lot of guys, man, a lot of guys that are up and coming. I try to get them as much experience as possible. Like, a lot of people, they want their opportunity. They want their opportunity so bad that they're not worried about when you get that opportunity, you're not that ready for it. You know what I mean? A lot of students I got that ain't ready for it. Just keep asking. But guess what? You get to that opportunity, you might shit the bed. And guess what? People ain't gonna look at you again. First impressions last a long time. So I try to tell my students, you gotta be ready.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's awesome. Yeah. I like how you said you're forcing information into them like the Matrix. It's like militant shepherding. You're forcing them. You're going to learn if I got to cram it in your head. I love it.
That's the New York way. He's a product of the doghouse. That's how it was. You will learn this, and you're going to learn it right.
That's it. There's no other way that I know. You got to learn it old school.
Hell yeah. Let me ask you this, Reef. Going way back, thinking about your career and how everything started, did you ever expect to be a commentary extraordinaire?
It was always something I liked to try, you know what I mean? I always thought I would be all right in it, but I like doing it. I definitely like doing it, man.
You're a character. Being you is a character. It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't have to prepare.
When you're like one of the boys and you do commentary, I mean, you know, like if you were watching one of your own matches, you would know what you would want the commentator to say and how you would want him to put you over or whatever else. So yeah. I think what's good about you is when you're on commentary, you were putting the guys over. You were putting the moves over, what you knew about the guys over, the little stuff, you know. Yeah. And yeah. I appreciated it because I was telling Johnny just a few days ago, there was this match that I had that I really liked and I wanted to send it somewhere. But the commentators were just making inside jokes the whole time on commentary and it ruined the fucking match.
Yeah. Exactly. One thing I try to keep it is about what's going on. You know what I mean? People could talk all day about themselves and try to put over themselves. At the end of the day, I'm putting over the product. Right. I am a part of the product, but I'm putting it over.
Your representation of the product too, because really, when you talk about first impressions, like if I show somebody a match or somebody's watching a match and the commentator, and everything could be great. But if the commentators are being silly and everything else, that's the only voice that the person hears. So especially like memories you have in a kid, right? Memories you have as a kid, you picture. So like, all right, one of the spots I do, if you ever see me do it, I'll do a Stone Cold comeback. And before I do drop the hammer on him, I yell Stone Cold. But when I yell Stone Cold, that's not me impersonating Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's me impersonating Jim Ross. Older, you know, wait, oh, I know, he learned how to fall. Like, all these memories in our head are, even down goes Frazier.
Gorilla Monsoon stuck in my head, right. You know?
Well, he raised us.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Johnny says that all the time. They raised us, you know? Or Vince, yeah. Was unbelievable, 25 times during SummerSlam 93.
Well, that's when you need all parts to be working. Just like if you have a bad referee and he's giving out false counts and he's doing it like it's the beginning of the match, it's just gonna mess everything up. So everything's gotta work for it to work that magic we need to do.
You know, yeah. When I watch indies, the bad referees stick out like stick.
Yeah, it's just like, what are you doing, bro? You know?
Oh my god, like at least pretend to do a 3 or 4 count on the guy. Yeah. At least beg the guy to stop cheating. Don't just stand there with your arms at your side looking.
Yeah. Yeah, some of it's embarrassing.
Like, well, I tried. I tried to have authority. He just won't listen.
Yeah.
Oh, those heels.
Yeah, right. That's how it is, dude. Yeah. Some of these refs, man, it's crazy. And you know, the whole idea of the female ref, that was not around in our day, Reef.
Definitely not. Nope.
I mean, I told these guys when we first met, I said, guys, if you have a female ref in your match, bump her. Because it's going to get over as shit.
Exactly.
How can it not? You know, the problem is, how can she come out and ref the next match?
Yep.
So, you know, you got to be careful with stuff like that with these referees. That's why I like getting Brian Logan on here. We got to get him on here to talk about the current state of wrestling. Talk about someone that's not going to hold back opinions about referees. It's referee Brian Logan.
Yeah, he'll give it to you straight.
Yeah, he sure will. He definitely will. So, Grief, what do you got coming up anytime soon, man? Where are you going to be? Let's plug your shit.
Well, we're working on a date for probably the first week of March. We're looking to lock this down. We're trying to get this building in New York. If not, we're going to have to do the Elks Lodge. But we got the license rental, the ring rental already locked down. We're just trying to lock down the date. But it's probably this week we'll lock down a date. But we've just been doing the Loud East. I've been doing GCW. Yeah. You know, I'm not a full-time GCW or nothing like that, but when I get the itch, I'm going to scratch it over there, you know. But I'm just trying to milk my last years. as much as I could, try to stretch maybe 10 matches a year instead of 20, 30, you know?
Same here, bro. Mm-hmm. We need to bring a three-legged milking stool into the locker room with us at this point.
The Art of Milking. I'm going to sell the book.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, man, that last show you had was pretty entertaining. You had a good variety of stuff, man. My favorite is Rerun and all the music, the old school music, bro. That got me good, bro.
That's Rerun right there. Look, Rerun just posted in the chat.
My man.
He's awesome, man.
Tone Love from Tough Crew is going to be there.
Oh, shit. All right.
So Tough Crew, my part of town. Yeah, and we're constantly trying to add a few more people, trying to make it especially now that it's an Eagle, it's going to be an Eagles pep rally type situation, you know, to right. Maybe Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right. Congratulations, fellas, on that.
Oh, man. Philly is losing their mind.
It's like, mate, it's really like the WrestleMania Cody Rhodes storyline, if you think about it, especially because Mania was in Philly last year, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You figure Roman beat Cody at 39. The Chiefs beat the Eagles last year and are kind of like, you know, the unstoppable. Well, they're the baby face to a lot of the country, but here, you know, they're the heels. So, you know, now it's Eagles, Chiefs, second year in a row. But we got Barkley this year. That's a totally different situation.
Man. He's been busting through right now.
That dude is insane.
I had money on the Eagles, -6 yesterday.
Dude, they played like I've never seen them play.
Yesterday, yeah.
That's like the best they've ever played yesterday, bro. That was sick yesterday.
Yesterday. Barkley was a beast.
Yeah, man.
My money's on the Eagles this year, definitely.
Now, let me ask you this. Have any of you guys watched all the craziness happening around the city from last night?
Yes, no. The only time I missed living in the city.
Dude, people were climbing up signs. They had to put grease on the signs, so that they couldn't climb up.
When they won the NFC Championship last time, and went right out the Broad Street, and then for the Super Bowl, Ruckus and his girl came down, and my girl at the time was there, and we went right out on it. I lived on, you know, where Voltage is at, Reefer. I used to live a block from Voltage.
Oh, really?
So I used to walk the Voltage when Brett would have a show there. That there's nothing like walking to a show. Got to walk to a show while you're in the business. There's nothing like it.
That is awesome.
So I lived right there. So yeah, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I was right at. They were everybody's right on my block, man. It was insane. One of the best nights of my life.
Sick.
Well, the one guy jumped off some van or something into the sea of people, and they just moved. They barely even called it. It looked like a wrestling spot. Yeah, it looked like a wrestling spot. And then the mounted police that had to go down the street, like me and Robbie literally had to step over horse shit at the tailgate.
That's over. It was like a 6-foot like rotunda of horse shit.
It was like Deadwood. It was like being in the Wild West.
Oh God.
Those horses were a mess.
No, I couldn't believe it, dude. I couldn't believe it. And so many weird things were happening there. Like the Washington fans had their own parking lot. So you can imagine looking in one parking lot and seeing all maroon, looking in the other and seeing green. And the green had to walk past the red to get to their parking lot. So they're all yelling at each other and the cops are running out there. I don't know, man.
That's crazy. Some good clips. Yeah, I saw a couple of clips of some Washington fans getting abused on their way out. Some ginger looking kid.
I saw that.
Go it back to Dundalk.
I'll tell you what, Washington shouldn't complain. They shouldn't have got there to begin with, right?
That's right.
So this is success for them.
That's it. That's absolutely right. Real quick, Reef, stick around a minute. We're just going to do a little bit of business, and we're going to talk again. I want to show the video of the tag match coming up for February 8th, and tickets are on sale. Everybody, check this out.
You got it.
Test your might. Test your might.
Man, that song hypes me up.
Good Shout stuff. Out to Billy Real, who made our Mortal Kombat video in EAW for Trent and for all of us used to Backyard together. And I always want to make a little video with that song. I sent Johnny like a 15-second clip of it. And yeah, I just always, it was in my head. And I was going, and so I'm like, that made me think of Billy when I made that. I'm not good at editing videos yet, but I can make little 15-second things right now. I'm learning enough to do that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. R.I.P. to my man, Billy Real, man.
I know. R.I.P.
But it's going to be a hot match. And what a better song than Mortal Kombat? You know, Gotch, Blade, yeah. I mean, they're like the real-life Cobra Kaidos, too, you know?
Yep. What a match they had, I'll tell you, bro. I was really impressed in that. That was a sick match they had last time, bro.
Yeah, that's right. You were on commentary for it.
Yeah, it was wild, bro. Rick Blake still got it. He still got it, man.
Yes. Reefer, you ever been in the ring with the Rat?
No. I used him for my second show that I did in New York. But I'm aware of them. They definitely got it cooking.
Guys, you know, we've all traded belts with the Rat in multiple companies. Me and the Graysons, Johnny and everybody, we've all been in feuds with the Rep and shared locker rooms with them. And those two are the real deal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, with this match, really, you know, we're hoping that this elevates everybody. It's an opportunity because we want people to see that, you know, that Simon Gotch needs to be in the category with all these top indie guys that are on these lists of indie guys. Great, okay, because this dude can't even. It's not even that he can just work. He's got size. He's got a great look. He's got a gimmick. He could do a gimmick like, you know, when my son was little and we used to play WWE 2K, you know, 16 or whatever. You know, my son would make his own creative character, but he was always playing against Simon Gotch because Simon Gotch had the coolest entrance and had the coolest gimmick, and the screen would get black and white, and you know, he got really excited with Simon Gotch coming. I'm talking when he's like 5-6 years old. So if you're a dude that's able to go train with Kenta, but then also connect with 6-year-olds, you should be a top guy at anybody's company. Blade, you know, he was a guy that we need people to see that Rick Blade has not lost a step. But I know because I was in the ring with Rick for his second match back. So, you know, I saw what a gas tank that dude has on him and just, you know, how hard he can go. And the Rep, I hope this elevates them too, because I hope people see that these guys are a real deal tag team. They're a real, I was trying to make that video, it was kind of hard for me to find singles clips of Nate or Dave because they're loyal to each other as a tag team. So there's not a lot of singles matches out there for me to get clips together to put a video together now.
Dave wrestled Dreamer for us at our first show, and that was a rare singles match for them.
Nate did.
Correct. Right. Sorry, Nate did.
Dave got involved. Dave got involved, but it was Nate.
That's what I'm saying too. They are, so keep that in mind too. This is the first time Gotch and Blade are teaming, and they're teaming up against the Rep. So this is a rare instance where the Rep has a big experience advantage over a former WWE guy and a CZW OG. And the Rep really has the experience advantage because it's a tag team match.
They can read each other's minds. So that's definitely an advantage. You're right about that, Rob.
Anything can happen.
And Rob, here's the thing you made for the women's match I'm going to try to show. Let me see if I can get this up.
My world, all the guys they want to get with her. Step back because you know you can't get her. First of all,
nice. So there you go. Ruthie J from TNA steps up to accept the open challenge from Tasha Steelz from TNA Wrestling. So that's going to be interesting.
It'll be
Natasha's feisty, man. I like that, Tasha. She's a feisty girl.
She sure is. She sure is. And I got to say, Robbie, this is probably my favorite thing that you've made. This is for your match. Check this out, everybody, if you know the Cosby Show.
To be the one you love now.
Oh, not the best quality because I didn't have it saved correctly. But yeah, that was funny, man. Little Rudy.
Cosby Show's on my TV right now, man.
The Cosby Show is?
Yeah, dude, I'm good at separating the art from the artist. Like this guy right here, Anthony Cassay, whatever, my mom bought this stupid painting right here. For all I know, Anthony Cassay could have been a serial killer in France. I wouldn't know. You know what? And I wouldn't care. My mom likes the painting. It stays up in the house for when she comes down to see me. That's the end of it.
Dude, all of America used to watch Bill Cosby dance with his family every week.
He's really on my TV right now. You know, dude, I just got cable when I tore my ACL. I just decided to bite the bullet and get cable like 2 weeks ago. I wake up to Cosby every morning from 7 to 9. Then Living Single from 9 to 10. And then we switch over and get some stuff done, you know, like a normal person.
Well, good. So, guys, some of these matches coming up, like JP's in a singles match. Talk about rare singles matches. JP's taking on Griffin McCoy. Now, Reefer, you're in a neat position here because you just wrestled Griffin in the match we just talked about. So what do you think is going to happen with this one? How do you prepare when you're a singles wrestler wrestling a tag wrestler?
Well, you better watch out because this kid, he's on the come up. He's definitely growing as a wrestler, leaps and bounds. So I would definitely be on my game, which you probably already are. But just to give you a warning, the kid might not be the same kid maybe if you wrestled him a year or two ago. He's definitely stepped his game up, and he's big-time hungry. He's looking to make it as far as he could. So I would definitely be on my game. And as far as singles, you have been tagging for a while. When was the last time you had a singles match?
I mean, yeah, it's been a while. It's been about a year since I've had – singles match. So again, this is definitely a challenge, and you know, it's an opportunity to show myself what I'm all about. And the last time I did wrestle Griffin would be, I'd say, 2 years ago when we just started the Backseat Boys gimmick. So again, it's been a while since we've been in the ring. We've both grown as athletes, performers, and wrestlers. And I mean, there can only be one winner, man. And again, I'll say this. I mean, I'm in the ring every week, in the gym every single day. You know, I'm not sure what Griffin's up to, but best believe, man, I mean, you call yourself the self-proclaimed top guy, right? Well, shit, in order to be the top guy, you got to take out the top guy. So it all starts with you.
Yeah, I would say you're about minus 140 favorite, definitely.
Reefer, it's kind of neat, though, seeing these guys being used in singles capacity the way me and Trent were. Remember all that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They definitely did that with you guys for sure.
Right. So now I'm the guy going like, oh, let's turn them against each other and split them up. Reefer. Listen, Reefer, I'll take Tommy. You take JP. We'll pit them against each other and we'll have them fight.
Yeah. See how it goes.
We'll take care of it. Yeah.
Man, miss Trent. I miss Trent a lot.
Did a showcase, you know, you have, That's the thing about you guys. I mean, you are really formidable as far as a tag team goes, and it's also a good way to showcase, though, that also comes down to it, you're formidable as singles competitors as well. Because, you know, for all the experience that Griffin might have as a singles wrestler over JP, I would say that means that JP's had to take half the amount of bumps that Griffin would have had in the same matches, which means he's – has a lot more durability on him than Griffin would, you know, I would think.
That's a good point.
That's one of the things that Johnny and I and Reefer can attest to in our age, that working now as tag wrestlers almost exclusively makes it a lot easier. Even earlier, I said, oh, I have a torn ACL. How am I going to do the match? I'm like, well, it's a tag match. You know, it's a tag match. We'll figure something out.
That's a good point. You know, I've definitely dabbled in singles competition in my career. I would say, you know, 2022, that was, you know, a big focus. Just trying to get different experience. You know, I've had experience going out to Mexico, doing some Lucha Libre out there and everything like that. So I don't want people to, you know, think that, you know, this is like a first time situation. You know, I've had my feet wet in singles competition plenty. It's just been a while, but, you know, that's why we got to, you know, stay sharp and challenge yourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. Yeah,
and being in a tag team, too, it gives you the opportunity to also watch a lot of wrestling while it's happening real time. So one thing that Griffin doesn't get to do is he's just always in the moment where when you get tagged out as a tag wrestler, you can watch your brother in there. You can watch. You can learn other opponents, what they're doing. You're able – I mean, let's face it. You were able just on Sunday night to go back and watch Griffin last Sunday and watch Griffin, you know, at the top of his game wrestling in a Hammerstein ballroom. And that's, you know, if he has any tricks in his book, he broke them out Sunday night. So, again, you know, I'm not trying to disagree with Reefer here, but I would certainly take that minus 140 and put my money in. Would put my money on JP in this situation here, you know, for sure. Even though it's, you know, I'd have to lay down to make some money, I still think that he's going in the favorite. And I think that, I mean, the show is at a casino. So if we're laying bets, I think that I'm looking, if I'm Sam Rothstein here with a gigantic glasses on, I'm putting my money on JP, the hometown guy, the hometown boy here, you know.
Yep, that's right.
Yes, sir.
Yep, I think he's got as good a shot, definitely. Griffin's no joke, but it's going to be interesting. And Tommy has his backseat silver challenge, so you got to wear silver pants, everybody. And listen, Timu has them cheap, for like $11. And they might get here in time, but I know Walmart has them. So if you come in with silver pants, you get a free ticket to the April event. And when you see what the April event is, you'll understand why you got a free ticket to it from wearing silver pants. That's all I'll say. That will be announced soon. So keep in mind, we have a lot more to announce over the next couple of weeks, everybody. So stay.
I'll still be in action. Don't necessarily know what I'm doing, but who knows? If somebody wants to get froggy during my silver challenge and wear gold or wear nothing at all, you know, that's no fly zone in SPO.
Yeah. And we have Velcro making his debut, you guys. He is a rap rock star in Philly. He's got quite the following. He's going to be taking on James Ellsworth. This is two debuts in one match. It is a special attraction match. And in the corner of Velcro will be battle rap legend Tay Rock. Tay Rock is coming up for this. It's going to be a big deal, you guys. So you don't want to miss this. These guys have Philly on lockdown. We met them at Yaya's Gremlin House event recently. And they're going to actually be appearing at the Gremlin House table with Yaya himself. So don't miss that, everybody. And guys, I keep showing the thing about your belts. Ruda Entertainment is going to be making brand new SPO tag team titles commissioned and designed by the Backseat Boys themselves. And that's going to be coming up real soon. And on the 8th, Ruda will be there with his belts at the table. You can come up and meet them. You can see the belts. You can pick them up, feel how heavy and sturdy and gorgeous they are. And you can go ahead and place your custom or replica belt orders right there with Ruda and the Backseat Boys. So good stuff, guys.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's what it's all about, man. You know?
And Bob,
so
there was a great video put out this morning. I think it was it this morning, or did you guys put that out late last night? Because I saw –
That was put out by Ruda. He put out they're basically getting ready to do the painting process. You know, they're gonna start painting the title soon. So you know, metal's basically all cut up and you know, we're gonna get the leather on, get the painting going, and it's gonna be all ready by February 8th. It's gonna be awesome.
I'm a nerd for that kind of stuff. Like Ruckus,
I have it.
Videos of that making the
Let
belt.
Me see. Here it is.
Yeah, but there it is. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
nice. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
Nice.
It's all in the works. It's all in the works.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. It's good stuff. What a nice surprise, you guys, to have new title belts. It's a lot's going on, man. This is a big season for SPO, starting at Harrah's and getting this all going, man. And Philly, it's the night before the Super Bowl. So like Robbie said, it's like this big Super Bowl pep rally come February 8th. And we have so many guests in the house, like DJ Khalil is going to be spinning, you know, and we have, like you said, Tone Love is going to be there from Tough Crew. So we got a lot of cool heads in the house. You know, Big Daddy from the Sixers, a lot of different not-for-profit organizations are going to be there, like Nana's, Candy Cloud, Runsonia Run, Vent, I Run Philly just came on board, All Pro Chiropractic. So we have a lot more vending people coming, and we have more vending space available. So if anyone wants to order some vending space, it is not too late, everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much to everybody that's, you know, partnering with us for this event and partnering with us for the November event. You know, especially in Chester, we're still a new promotion to running events in Chester. So to everybody, especially now that, you know, is partnering with us, God willing, this thing, you know, our company is able to grow bigger and we're able to put on bigger events and help raise more money for all these great causes. And, you know, we want to thank everybody the same way I thanked you guys earlier for believing in me. We want to thank these nonprofits and these vendors for believing in us and trusting that when they partner with us, that we're going to put on a great event on February 8th. Everybody's going to have a good time. You're going to see great wrestling. They're going to have an opportunity to connect. The wrestlers are going to have an opportunity to connect with the fans. And so that, you know, we're really grateful for that. You know, Willie Mack, you just flashed a picture of Willie Mack. For a lot of people, this is going to be a rare chance to see Willie on the East Coast. I met Willie like 15 years ago. We were in Urban Wrestling Federation together, me and Willie and Ruckus and everybody. And
yeah,
I don't think I've seen him out here in person since then. And that's crazy because he is, you know, when Bufa pulled out, when I said Willie Mack, it was almost like to me, I might as well have said, you know, James Brown, because it seemed like, well, Willie Mack, how are we going to get Willie Mack? Well, we got Willie Mack. You guys, you know, that's one thing that really helped out. Was you guys reached out to Willie Mack, and I'm talking, we didn't have to go through an agent. Willie Mack is a big star.
Yeah.
You guys got him directly on the phone. And you told him this was for both of us. And what we were working with the mayor roots and everything like that. He was available. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you for Willie Mack for believing in us and for what we're doing over here. You know, there's a lot of bigger promotions out there. There's a lot of stuff going on. We just want to be completely different from everything out there. The same way Reefer is completely different from all the other stuff that's going on up there in that New York, North Jersey area.
Right.
We're trying to be something different here, you know? So, you know, thank you for believing in something different. You know, that's, and again, this is me very out of character for me.
No, it is. But I like this side of you.
This is very in character for me, the person, but I don't normally act like this on camera because wrestling people are heartless and will destroy you if you show any vulnerability. So this is a bad thing.
Especially us five.
But when it comes to what we're doing, Johnny, and you know, some of these nonprofits have to do with people that have lost children or children with special needs and developmental disabilities.
Yep.
That stuff has affected my family, and so it's super important to me. And SPO is super important to me. Even if after this surgery, I can't do stuff in the ring for a long time or maybe ever, I would still be trying to make sure that we put on really good shows for everybody and try to make these kids happy while they're at our shows.
Yep. And there you can see at the bottom, please support our not-for-profit partners on Instagram at VentNYC. VentNYC is a nonprofit drug and alcohol rehab type place that DJ Khalil runs in New York. So it's definitely a wonderful cause. At the Santa Kringle at the Santa Kringle on Instagram. If you have a loved one who is, how did we say it, Robbie? What's the right way to say expiring?
Somebody's terminally ill.
Terminally ill. He will bring Santa to them any time of year. Especially if they're not going to make it till Christmas. And Nana's Candy Clouds and Runsonia Run are in are one organization, really, because the Nana's Candy Clouds sells organic candy floss like cotton candy, and all the money goes to Runsonia Run. Sonia is Tone Love's daughter, Tone and Gia Love's daughter, who was a special needs, and she died at age 11, God bless her, 2 years ago. And they didn't have the support they needed. You know, the health insurance didn't cover everything. So they're now making money by selling candy floss and giving that money to people in Delaware who are going through the same thing, who don't
have to provide that support they that wasn't yet available, what didn't exist yet. So they made it exist for those families. God bless them.
Exactly.
For any wrestlers out in New York or who aspiring wrestlers that want to get trained or, you know, sharpen their skills up, where can they find you, Reef?
Well, I'm at the Coliseum Gym in Queens. It's in Richmond Hill, Queens, New York. I'm there Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 9. They can call me up on my cell, 718-593-3761. I don't care. You can prank call me all you want.
Well, we're going next week. Next Monday night, Donnie B is going to be calling you.
Giving your phone number out. You're like Mike Jones, bro.
Yeah. Hit me up. You want to be a wrestler.
And follow Grim Reefer on Instagram at Grim_Reefer724. And follow his wrestling company on Instagram at Loud East Wrestling. Good stuff. You will not be disappointed. So, guys, we got to end because it's time for everyone to go watch wrestling on television. Is that what we're all going to do?
It's that time to go.
It's a good time.
Netflix and chill, as they say, right?
Yeah, everybody out there, like, just watch wrestling for the next 3 hours and just, like, try to enjoy it and not pick it apart and stuff. Like, people work their whole life to get on Netflix wrestling. Not to hear some dickhead at home saying how he blew a dropkick. Whatever. Great. You know what I mean? Enjoy it.
It's so true.
That's a bunch of people's dreams, for God's sakes.
I love it. All right. Well, everyone, big week ahead. Stay tuned. We're going to have a lot to announce over the next few days. And don't forget, next Monday night right here, we're going to try to get Willie Mack. We are going to have Reality 5 Media stop in to talk about what their plans are for SPO Wrestling moving forward. And Reefer, you're welcome anytime, my brother. You just
you guys are the best. You guys are the fucking best, bro.
You already know, man.
You were there, or UWF. We sat in his CTS, his black Cadillac CTS,
bro. Oh, yeah.
You were living, bro.
Strange Suspicion said, great stream. He must have followed us into the bathroom at Planet Fitness. But anyway, thank you, guys. Thank you all. Have a good weekend. Have a good week. God bless.
Peace.
Two scoops of whoop.